Hello and welcome to Game Over, the premier video game show on UMFM 101.5, hosted by me, Adam Pasdor, and nobody else. Simon is apparently stuck in traffic, so he will be here when he can, but until then, it would just be me talking to all of you. Now, that actually works out kind of well, because I have something I wanted to sort of go on about, and I'm hoping that Simon is listening to this in the car, because I'm very curious to see what he thinks when he gets in. But we have a lot to cover today when he gets here, so I'm going to get this out of the way. So one of the things we're going to talk about today is the Mortal Kombat 11 DLC. And I was thinking about that last night, and one of the things that I thought about was that I think I'm kind of in a weird spot when it comes to fighting games in general, and Mortal Kombat in particular, because that's the franchise I've played the most of, in that I think I'm kind of in the uncanny valley of skill at fighting games, where I am too good at them to just have fun button mashing, and I'm too good at them not to be aware of the skill and the flow that is supposed to come with playing a good fighting game. But I'm also not good enough at them to pull that off. I was considering this when I was thinking about how I beat Mortal Kombat 11 story mode in one night, and then I sort of haven't touched the game since. And there's a lot, of course, else to do. There are challenge towers, and you can play online and all kinds of things. But I haven't really had the urge to pick Mortal Kombat 11 back up again since I put it down. And I kind of think that's why, is that when I'm playing through the story mode, as cheesy and ridiculous as it is, it's also kind of wonderful, and it's why I prefer Mortal Kombat to any other fighting game series. But the big thing is that once that's gone, now it's just fighting for the sake of fighting. And that's when I get run into that problem where I'm too good at it just to have inherent fun in button mashing, but I'm also not good enough at it to be able to execute the big long combos and to memorize everything. And while it's great that NetherRealm provides that sort of information, it's really easy to get to when you're in a fight. You just pause and then you can see a quick move bar, and they even have some on the screen, which I think is great because it sort of doesn't interrupt the flow to check that part. But if you want to see everything your character can do or is supposed to be able to do, you have to pause and you have to go into this menu. And even though they've made it smoother than it's ever been before, it still sort of interrupts the flow. And also, like, I forget what it was called in Mortal Kombat 11, but I think it was called a bounce cancel in MK10. And there are some things when, even in the tutorial, where I just, like, I have tried this on a stationary opponent who is doing nothing to resist, and it's taken me 10 minutes, and I still can't do this one particular combo. So maybe my brain is just not meant for playing fighting games. But that's a thing that's been on my mind. And now, we will see what Simon has to say about it.
What Mortal Kombat, you mean?
Yes. Were you listening to the show?
I was busy sprinting through
University Center.
Incredible Winnipeg traffic.
Yes.
Anyway, I think you were just talking about the tutorial. That's what I heard going on in here. Yeah. It's, I don't even remember. Like, you played more of it than I did.
Well, I was talking about the tutorial, but the big thing I was talking about, which I guess you were in sprint for, was how I feel like I'm in an uncanny valley of Mortal Kombat skill, where I'm too good at it to get any inherent fun out of button mashing, because I know you're not supposed to do that, but I'm not good enough at it to pull off the combos.
Yeah.
So everything just feels sticky and awkward.
That's pretty much how I feel, too. I mean, it's still enjoyable, but, I mean, for the most part, when I ever played with a character, because I didn't do too much of the crypt or the towers. I think you did more of those than I did, but I pretty much did the entire story mode, start to finish, and then did a couple of battles, like skirmishes. I know that's not what they're called, like practice battles with a few characters, like five or six characters.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see who I liked. And I did their, I mean, everyone has their own custom training mode, I guess you could say. Like, they have a character.
Oh, yeah, where you can run through all the stuff
exactly.
for a character. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, hey, we have our normal training, which is kind of applicable to everybody. You know, like, punch high, punch low, and all that kind of jazz. But then we have our also our character-specific training, which is going to teach you specific combos with people. I thought those were pretty helpful, but it's like, maybe there are people with savant-level memory who can go around who can memorize all these combos. But
like,
that ain't me.
I can't do that.
For the most part, it's just a matter of... Yeah, I mean, you can sticky combos onto the screen.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, hey, what combos can I get onto the screen that I can do? Like, you know, we're playing on PS4, so it's triangle, triangle, circle.
Yeah.
And then you can just throw that in there, and then you try to do it with, like, I mean, the first thing I do is I always memorize the special moves.
Yeah, as many as you can.
Yeah, and then I tend to go to the characters who have the widest variety of special moves so that I can kind of get away with only knowing the special moves.
Yes, I remember you, Ermac.
That's exactly why I liked Ermac, because he had a special for every situation. He's got a special projectile. He's got a special fight crunch combo. Of course, he's not back in the game.
No.
But yeah, did you talk about the story yet?
The story of MK11?
Yeah.
No.
Let's go there.
Okay.
Because I think that, I mean, that's what separates Mortal Kombat from the other ones.
Have we not talked about that on air?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, I was listening to our past episodes because, again, like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM, but also you can go and find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and a litany of other podcasts, which at the end of the episode I will list off for people who can find it. Not Spotify still waiting on that one, although we did get a new one this week.
Oh.
I forget what it's called.
Oh.
But I'll find it for you at the end. But, yeah, I was listening to our previous episode, where we talked that Mortal Kombat was coming out that week, but again, I was just about to leave.
Yeah.
And, we were basically saying, oh, next week we'll discuss the story or whatever, and then...
And then we didn't.
Never actually did. And I don't really remember that much of it.
Oh, I do.
Like, I feel like I still remember MK9's story better than either MKX or MK11. And I rewatched, like, MKX, the story
the movie,
mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie. On the way to MK11. And then, like, I just... Like, they're okay, but for a series whose primary drive over the other ones was, we're going to be a good fighting game and a decent story. I think that the last two story modes
have been lacking
the decent story aspect.
Yeah.
For me, at least. What did you think?
Well, particularly 10, I agree with you. I don't remember anything about the story of MK10. In fact, when they were recapping it at the beginning of MK11, I was like, oh... I didn't recall that at all. But I think, like, the thing that stands out to me is if you asked me to name a story moment from Mortal Kombat, like, there's the obvious one, like, the whole Sub-Zero Scorpion conglomerate is a thing. But if you asked me to name a specific moment from a game, the one that jumps out to me is, it's either the end of Deadly Alliance or the beginning of Deception, where Shang Tsung, Quan Chi, and Raiden are all having a big punch-up, and then Onaga shows up.
That's the beginning of Deception.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like the opening cinematic of Deception. I also remember quite fondly the opening cinematic of Deadly Alliance, where they show up and they kill Liu Kang.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, those are some standout moments. But past then, I remember the MK11 story because I just played it a month ago.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, I couldn't tell you anything that happened.
I mean, in this one, they just threw in... I remember listening to some interviews with Ed Boon, and he was like, we're going to introduce a new big bad in Chronica. And I'm like, really? You're going to have someone who is sort of pulling the strings the entire time? Like, this story has escalated to such, like, galactic calamity levels so many times that it's just hard to believe that the Keeper of Time itself, I think they missed a big opportunity for her to be, like, I think they missed a big opportunity for her to be more impartial, but still against the good because they changed time.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, they changed time, and so it's like she's mad at them. And they really played up, I thought, how evil she was.
Yeah.
It's like, she's evil, and she wants to get rid of Raiden forever. Like, yeah. I thought it would have been fine. It's like, no, you mess with time, and so I'm going to, like, force things to go back.
Yeah.
I think that might have been a more interesting way to have that character.
Well, she did, like, there was certainly the aspect of this is, like, she was kind of just throwing a fit, right? Because this is not going the way I wanted it to go.
It's That's
not,
what I mean.
Yeah, it's not sort of there's an inherent problem with messing with time. It's, you know, you're not playing by my rules.
That's so, I don't want to say immature, but I'm thinking immature.
Petty.
Petty. It's so petty for a character who is above the Elder Gods.
Yeah.
You know, like these characters, I mean, you have like regular humans who they kill a billion times, and then they have like the special humans who are the ones that we kind of play as.
Yeah.
And then you have like gods, because Raiden isn't always an Elder God, but he's always a god.
Yes.
So then you have gods, and then you have Elder Gods, and now they're like, oh, no, 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 this is the mother of a couple of the Elder Gods. She's even higher up the list.
Yeah.
But she's super petty. I thought that if they played her off as more of a force of nature,
yeah,
that might have been
more. Because that's kind of what they were doing with the Elder Gods, is the Elder Gods were always sort of removed from it all. Even when bad stuff was happening, they're like, yeah, we can't intervene.
Yeah. Except now they do, because...
Yeah.
Fine. And they do have literally one of the Elder Gods now is a force of nature, Cetrion.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just like, okay, I guess Rain's not coming back. That confirms that. There goes Rain, there goes Tremor, like...
Yeah, bye-bye.
Won't have to worry about seeing any of them again.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, there were a couple funny moments in the story, mostly with Johnny Cage seeing past Johnny Cage.
Yes.
I think it was like in MK11, they turned Johnny Cage into a decent guy because he had to be a dad. And that's just not as interesting, Johnny Cage, to be quite honest with you. There's plenty of decent guys. You know, you only have one Johnny. So to bring him back in some capacity was very funny.
Yes.
And then to be like, he scratched our face! That was good. But particularly after seeing Endgame... Spoilers for Endgame, and how tight the time travel was in Endgame, it's not nearly as tight in Mortal Kombat.
No.
Like, if Raid, after you see, again, spoilers for Endgame, after you see Endgame, and they're just like, you can't, killing your past self wouldn't change your future, because that's not your past. Your past has already happened, now you're in your future, so that's a different person, like a multiverse kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this one, it's just like, no, if you shoot an old person, the new person will die too.
Yeah.
And that's like a major point. They play it up as if
exactly
it's like a
happens.
Thing that Sonya discovered. Oh, yes, you are connected.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no kidding. Of course you are.
Yeah. But
because those are the rules we're playing with, apparently.
Yes. I don't like those rules. And again, after we had just seen something which did it so much better, I was like, crap.
Yeah.
You fell back into that trap. Plus, it's like really cheap. I mean, I remember I was playing the beginning level, and like Sonya Blade gets through so many different things, and then that opening, they send Raiden into the middle of a field, and he's like, he's got thunder powers, so again, he's kind of like Thor, but instead of using lightning and like arcing it across like Thor does in Ragnarok, he's doing like basically a lightning blade.
Yeah.
I'm like, there are better powers for blades. This lightning thing you have is way better.
Yeah, exactly, especially for this.
You're lightning. Do lightning, you know?
Yeah. He's God of hammers.
Yeah, he's God of hammers indeed. Are you Thor? God of hammers. That might be my favorite moment in that.
It's pretty
entire
great.
Movie. And that's a great movie.
Yes, it is.
And that, but then, yeah, Sonya Blade just like, nope, there's no time. And I already set a bomb with... And first of all, it's played by... what's her name? The MMA fighter.
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. She's terrible. Just quite frankly, I remember when they debuted her. No, I mean, I'm sure she's a great fighter and probably a wonderful person, but she's not a voice actress. And she's not like The Rock and, what's his name, Batista.
Dave Batista,
who apparently went from that to this, because, like, wrestling is acting.
Yes.
You know, so they're just acting with physicality. But she wasn't acting, she was fighting. And I remember there was one of the MK Mortal Kombat, not directs, so that's a Nintendo thing, but one of their streams, where they're like, and since we have such a badass character in Saudi play, we need a real life badass, so here's Ronda Rousey! And I was like, oh man, she's not okay.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, maybe if you got her to do the mocap?
Yeah.
Sure, but the voice? It's bad. Like, because her sister, or her, not her sister, her daughter's hilarious. So when you have Cassie and Sonya talking to each other, it is glaringly obvious how bad Ronda Rousey is.
Yeah. No, yeah, Cassie's pretty funny. I kind of warmed to a couple of the kids on this one, because in MK10, I'm just like, oh my goodness, Offspring.
What a weird couple to take back, though.
Yeah.
Like, to bring back, I mean, Cassie, I think that they really, really deeply want Cassie to be the face of the franchise now, I think.
Yeah.
But
it's not going to work.
Don't bring back Sonya if you're going to bring back Cassie.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you need Sonya and Johnny and Cassie? No.
No.
So you want to have your fun with Johnny? Sure. But I mean, I was listening to a compilation of funny Mortal Kombat intros, and one of them was a character saying, "Aren't you Sonya?" Oh, sorry, Cassie, or like something like that. Like they got them mixed up because they're basically this, or called like Sonya too.
Yeah,
I think something like that. That's like, yeah, they're
basically the same.
They're basically the same. You probably didn't need both. That's. I mean, I get why they had Jackie in the. First of all, if your name is Jack and you name your daughter Jackie, way to go.
Yeah, very creative.
Very creative, man. But yeah, like, did we need Jackie? How is she different from her father? Or rather, keep Jackie. Get rid of Jax.
Yeah. And like, he screws the pooch in the story mode anyway.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk in the story mode. So that was even more confused. And especially because in the story mode, you fight against characters who aren't playable. But they have movesets.
Yeah.
So obviously, Kronika is one, but you fight against robots. Like, you fight against Cyrek and Sektor, and so that's what people are like, oh my god, they're going to be the DLC.
Apparently not.
They haven't been announced.
Yeah.
And if you follow the leaks, which we'll talk about later, they're probably not going to be announced, but they've created movesets just so you could fight them as NPCs, and probably in the towers, too. You couldn't do that with Jax?
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird to me, especially not including any of the robots.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but also, like, I even forget his name. Not Takeda. I remember him. Takeda was my favorite of the combat kids, to be quite honest. So I'm kind of sad he's gone, but he was like a mix of Scorpion's powers. But the other one, the one with the bow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm blanking.
I don't even remember his name. That's not important. He was one of the combat kids. But, like, that's a bow. No one has a bow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
new. At least that's
and
different.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, and they could desperately do with some difference.
So, like, the fact that this... And they could, because this series is rather unique, I think. Maybe like Zelda or something like that is similar in that people want to see the same characters every time. Like, every time there's a new Mortal Kombat game, it's, I want to see all my favorites again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just down to play a game with them every 3 years.
Yeah.
You know? And they didn't bring back everyone, obviously, and then they decided to have new people. But a good chunk of the new people are very similar to the old people. That being said, the actual new characters in this one, I really liked.
Yeah. What's his name now?
Garrus?
Yeah, that's the...
The time guy?
The time guy. Yeah, I love him. He's great. He's really cool. He feels distinct from all the other big guys. Kotal Kahn, I can kind of take or leave.
Well, he was in MKX. So the ones returning from MKX, I believe, that weren't the ones we just mentioned, were Kotal Kahn, Aaron Black. People love Aaron Black. Hey, people love a cowboy.
Yeah.
He's played by Troy Baker. Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah.
And the one I predicted, Devorah.
Yeah.
Who's very different.
Yeah,
so,
she's
like,
unique. I quite like her. I think the thing...
pointing at Fair Enough outside there.
Farron's here. She wasn't when I got in. But no, the thing I wanted to talk about in terms of the story thing is... One of the things that drives me nuts is that they did a great job in the early ones, and even to a degree in the movies. And like, I know the movies aren't good, but who cares?
I mean, they're cheesy and they're schlocky, and they can be fun in their own
way.
But
like, they do a great job in the early Mortal Kombat games of playing up the Liu Kang and Katana thing, and that's the main romance of the thing. And even though Sonya and Johnny is the one that produces a child.
Yeah.
But the main romance of the story is Liu Kang and Katana. And they sort of, spoilers for MK11, I guess, but if you care that much about the story mode, then avert your ears.
You had years, man. You should have played it by now.
Yeah. But like, well, at the end of this game, a thing happens and Liu Kang and Katana sort of get together and I'm going, but they've not done crap for like three games now.
Kind of get together and kind of don't, because at the end of this, you know what, it's been a couple weeks, and I think if you cared to play it, you've probably played it, but at the end of this, Liu Kang takes Raiden's place as the Elder God and protector of Earth.
Yeah.
And kind of like it's a little bit unclear, like this seemed almost like Armageddon 2. That's the feeling that I got, because they were like, Liu Kang is going to be in charge of this whole thing, and we're going to totally redo it. So I wouldn't be surprised if MK12, God knows how far away that is. This is basically just like free range to whatever they want. But yeah, it's like, okay, now Katana is ruler of Edenia, I believe she is. She's the new Khan.
Yeah. Or is she?
That's true. Now so like they have this thing where they set up that she's going to be the new Khan, and then Liu Kang defeats Kronika and becomes like supreme ultimate elder god
and restarts time.
So it's like, okay, glad we had that nice ending.
Yeah.
What was the point to it?
So, okay, Liu Kang has Raiden's power, so I'm cool with him being immortal, but how does Kitana fit into this?
Yeah, and like again, in a lot of the intro dialogue too, because that's clearly where they want to sort of lace more story into there, a lot of the characters tease Liu Kang about like having a crush on Kitana or being involved with Kitana in some way, and it's like, was that supposed to come across in these games? Because it didn't.
Not after the first handful, no.
Maybe we're supposed to, because when they were both dead and they were revenants, they were kind of, they seemed like...
Yeah,
really
then they were
like
king and queen, yeah.
Is that what we're supposed to go on off? Because it doesn't work. It didn't feel legit when they were alive. To be honest, I think once they had the bold idea in MK9 to kill everybody, basically, and to have like an extremely diminished group of heroes, to be like, yes, this will give... Let us have a new generation of heroes. And they flubbed that new generation. They didn't have enough confidence in them, and rightly so, probably.
Yeah.
And then I think in this one, they had no idea where to go. Honestly, what was the pitch meaning to this game like? What do we do? Like, I don't like that half our characters are dead. The fans don't like half of these combat kids. What the heck do we do?
Yeah.
Restart time? How could we possibly justify that after we had Armageddon, like, what, 11 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, and like speaking of, and like I assume this is the thing that bugged you because you're the big Scorpion guy. But his spoiler alert death scene is just dumb.
A lot of it's dumb. I think. Let me make a weird comparison. This makes me nervous for Spawn, who is the latest character to get revealed is going to be DLC. And I love Spawn. Like you and I watched, I think a bit of the cartoon as a kid. We watched the movie. Yeah. It was really cool. But I hated how in the movie, because I guess they had Michael Jai White and they wanted to pay him, that most of the time it was his face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not the cool part. And I get that. Like when you're playing Spider-Man, that's why Tom Holland and the actors who played him before, oftentimes in the big final scene, something happens to their masks, they have to take it off. Yeah. It's like you're paying this person the big budget. You want to see the face. You want to see the perfect hair. Scorpion, I don't want to see his face. Like, I like him as a specter.
Yeah,
so even if you're going to make him a person and he's going to be sort of getting along with Sub-Zero, like, sure, you want to do that angle. They buried the hatchet after all these years. Whatever.
Yeah.
But dress him up. Like, still make him look cool. And, yeah, I think, to be honest, every time they killed somebody in this game, it felt like they ran out of space and they had no idea what they were doing, the character. And they thought, well, now we've kind of got two of them. Let's have a heroic sacrifice by killing one of them.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit.
No, it didn't. And I think, like, because they got the past and future one right correctly once with Noob and Sub-Zero. That one works.
Yeah.
But they can't do it again.
That and Johnny were the only time I thought that the past and future thing actually benefited the story in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
So to have Johnny embarrassed by his past self, sure. And then it kind of like Johnny mistakenly talks to Sonya as if they're married in the future. It's like, oh no, sorry, it's just soon. I'm like, okay, that was kind of sad, but again, Sonya died in a really stupid way.
Yeah,
like these people all have basically superpowers. She's under a couple rocks.
Yeah,
you could get her out.
Yeah.
I've seen what you could do.
Exactly.
You could get her out.
You could get her out of there.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, well, we kind of ate up most of our time.
We did,
griping about the MK11 story.
I mean, that's really why we were playing it. Like, from what I understand, the combat is very tight. Like, the actual combat people that do these things professionally have had a lot of fun with it. And I do want to get back and play it more and do more of the towers.
Yeah.
But we should address the most recent thing that happened. First of all, actually, we'll talk about that afterward. So there was a new trailer where they announced Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
Actually, they didn't. They revealed Shang Tsung. They already announced him. We already knew way long ago that he was going to be the one. But the big deal is that Shang Tsung has a special move from four of the main other ninjas, or three?
Ermac, Rain, Smoke,
and Reptile.
Yeah, four.
So he has special moves of those guys. So if you're wondering if any of those ninjas are going to be in, as we predicted there might be a ninja pack, nope. Shang Tsung just has a move of all of them. So, like, that's kind of confusing story-wise. Why does he have all their souls? Are they dead? Because that's the only way he can do it. But to be fair, Shang Tsung looked really cool. And they kind of modeled him after the Shang Tsung who played him in the movies, which looked awesome.
Which, like, I like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they got the same voice actor, too.
Oh, that's cool.
That's why he was like, your soul is mine. I think that's, like, literally a scene out of the movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's exactly a scene out of the movie.
Yeah, so that was a nice callback to schlocky in the right way. Yeah. And then they announced...
Shout out to whoever that was. You did a great job.
And he still is. Fantastic. Yeah. But they announced the new fighters are going to be Sindel, Nightwolf, Spawn, and two more. So that will bring it up to six in this first pack. We don't know if there's going to be more packs, but at least it's first pack. And the leak, rumor, whatever it is that the last two are going to be Fujin and the Terminator. Terminator makes sense. There's a new movie coming out.
Yeah.
That seems like an absolute lock, sure. And then Fujin people have been clamoring for a long time. I'm a little bit confused at more Sindel than Nightwolf, particularly because everything that I've seen online is everybody and their dog wanted Melina.
Yeah.
Her absence is a huge fan favorite.
Yeah.
And so Melina's absence is speaks volumes, I would say. And having Sindel, it's like, I don't like Sindel, to be honest with you. I don't know how you feel about
the character. At least she's different.
She's different, but Melina's also different. And the last time we saw Sindel, she just killed half the cast for fun.
That's true.
And that's not interesting. So that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth for that. But, well, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm sort of in that boat with Nightwolf. I'm like, I've never been interested in Nightwolf. I think he was a important part of one story at one point for his, you know, the Native American ritual thing.
At least he is really different, though. Like, he does have a bow.
Yeah.
Just kind of a spirit bow. And he's got the tomahawks. Like, he is... There is no other character that's even close to him. And I guess you could sort of say the same about Sindel, but...
Yeah. I think the problem with Nightwolf, and this is sort of like... And I understand why they included, you know, Spawn and the Terminator, because people love gimmick.
Spawn is a lock.
Yeah. Well, people love Spawn and other gimmicky characters in fighting games. That's happened in every fighting game.
Yeah.
But my usual attitude toward extra characters is... Especially because it's Mortal Kombat, is how are they connected in the story?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at least Sindel, okay, Shao Kahn's ex, Katana's mom, fine, she's there. How does Nightwolf relate to anything
is
anymore?
Is he dead?
Like, I don't know.
Did he die in Mortal Kombat 9? I feel like he did, because he was with a group of, like, a bunch of people who died.
But, yeah, so, like, I could totally leave Nightwolf. I agree with you, Melina's absence is huge.
Yeah, for the sake of the fan favorites.
Yeah, I mean, so that's... But, like, Sindel, I'm not sorry to see her.
Yeah.
I doubt I'll play her, but...
It at first, I was really excited that Shang Tsung had the four ninjas thing, and then I was like, oh, that means...
They're not going to see the four ninjas. Yeah,
definitely not coming. And the fact that, like, you can palette swap Scorpion and Sub-Zero to be red. So, like, okay, where you can get your Ermac. You can get the colors, and they just don't have the movesets.
Yeah.
So, we're pretty much out of time. There's Minecraft has had a huge resurgence lately, though, which is kind of exciting. It's the 10th anniversary this year of Minecraft.
Yep.
And so, definitely more this summer, we're going to be talking more about Minecraft. There's been a lot of new developments. They announced Minecraft World is a thing that exists. Yeah. I think it's going to be on your smartphone. So that's coming out.
Yeah.
And then, this week, like tomorrow, Pokemon Sun and Shield Nintendo Direct. Huge. We're going to get more Pokemon Sun and Shield news.
Sword,
like,
and Shield.
With Sword and Shield. That's the one I'm like, Sun and Shield. That doesn't make any sense. Sword and Shield, Nintendo Direct coming this year, coming tomorrow, within the next 24 hours. So that's going to be a big deal. They also announced Pokemon Home, which is the game that you're going to have on your phone, or not a game necessarily on your phone, but it's going to be how you connect your Pokemon Go with your Pokemon Let's Go Eevee with your Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Okay.
So it's all going to go through this thing called Pokemon Home. And last but not least, they have Pokemon Sleep.
Oh, yes, I've heard of
No this. One really understands, but it sounds like it's their gamifying sleep. And I listened to a TED Talk this week while I was at work on how important sleep is. Turns out super important, like way more important even than I thought. Like, you'll die if you don't get sleep. So go to sleep, people. But I kind of like that Nintendo's like, we have Pokemon. What do people need to do? We need people to go outside more and sleep more. Let's gamify those two things.
Yeah.
Because Pokemon Go worked.
Yep.
Like, for a while all us nerds were out in parks. So Nintendo's happy. It's really clever.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But yes, very excited for Sword and Shield. But
alas,
we are out of time.
That is the end of our time. So like us on Facebook, like I said, Game Over UMFM. I didn't have time to read off all the place, but frankly, unless you're on Spotify, sorry, our listeners out there. Sorry, the read out there. We're still not on Spotify yet. We're working on it. But it pretty much any other podcasting station that you could think of, go on there, type Game Over, you could probably find us. Or again, go to us on Facebook, and I've put links to Apple and Google, and feel free to message us or leave a note saying, hey, I want a link to this. I'll drop the link to whatever it is if you can't find us. But that is all the time we have for this week. We'll see you guys next week.